Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All right, hello to you. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. I have to deliberately tone it down. Typically, I'm a little bit more yelly when I podcast. Like, if you were to go back, and that has to do with energy. I have to be careful these days of not overdoing it on the energy, because I'm noticing that I'm getting throat pain. Lately, I've been doing so much with basketball, hockey, and podcasting that I've been feeling like strain in my vocal cords. And I'm like, uh-oh. Now, this can turn into a chronic condition. Felt like Mel Tillis right there. So, considering the fact that I'm on the verge of starting this new job, that's all I need. So I've got to kind of like tone it down a little bit. I notice that I'm just feeling like little twings and twats. Well, not twats. Twings and twats and things. And Chris suggests tea, Big Fraud Zane. I need to look into the mechanism of what tea does. Is it just because it's warm, or is it the herbs of tea create a soothing sensation? Because I notice that when I drink the coffee, it feels better because of the heat, I think. I don't know. I have no idea. A big meeting coming up for EZ at noon about the technical nature of the job. I'll share with you this, since I am doing it from home and it is going to a faraway place, relatively. The radio station does not want me to reference that I am not in their home market, which I've had to do before. What you do is you make them your friend over a period of time, and then if it becomes known, no big deal. But radio audiences are finicky. So if you start out by saying, hey, I'm not even here, for some reason, they like turn on you. It's so dumb. Okay. Chris says, I have no idea. Either people say that to me, though, when my voice goes from coaching. What about the tea? Chris's question, how long would it take to drive there? Boy, if I answered that, that would, I mean, then you're looking at a geography that you can narrow it down to. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be doing it from here. And I'm just going to keep it a mystery. Until I gain these people's trust, you got to understand, this is going to be a departure from what you are used to. And my thought process in how to build this show is baby steps. Don't expect any earth-shattering, groundbreaking moments. Okay? Chris says, will we be able to listen on iHeartRadio or something like that? Yes. In fact, I'll have you download the radio station's app and you can listen to me. And I'm intentionally being careful because they said, yeah, don't discuss it yet. So now today, I'm going to get a timeline of, okay, so like, when does this contract get in front of me? First of all. Second of all, when am I starting to talk about this? But the idea that came up from the boss, one of the bosses yesterday about, yeah, make sure you let them know about the podcast. It's like, you know, I am on here every day motherfucking people. I don't want to do that. No. I'm just new, you know? Chris says, what's the app called? Just so we can get ahead of it. Yeah, nice try. It's called Fuck You. Download the Fuck You app. Linda says, do you have an agent? Not a sex agent, a regular agent. No. The other thing that came up. I am working as a contracted employee, a 1099 guy, which is fine. Which is fine. But I will be able to make appearances. I'll be making appearances and fun stuff like that. I am over the moon about this. And I am not kidding you. The idea of the boss of that radio station saying, EZ, do you know anybody that can do this gig? And I was actively looking for people to take the job. I cannot wait to divulge this entire story. Ridiculous. But also so obvious at the same time. Okay? I also have a very important update for all of you. Adam says, would this entity pay your S Corp? Yes. Tag accounting, the S Corp. What is that? I don't know. But in all seriousness, I have a very, very important announcement. And that is, Kenny cannot make a call on Wi-Fi. Chris says, what changed from you looking to you taking the job? Well, that's the best part of the story. And I can't give that to you yet. Because then I'll kind of get into a quagmire where it's a slippery slope. I'll have to reveal more information to you. And I'm not supposed to do that right now. This outage is still a major deal for people. I wonder if Ding Dong's got his phone back yet. Because I know. Hello. No, it goes right to his voicemail. Whenever anything faulty happens to the guy, he's got to tell you about it. So like if Kenny breaks his toe, he'll leave the house and there'll be a homeless guy there. And he'll go, hey, mate, I just broke my toe. Ow. Oh, my back. Oh. And then he'll walk four steps and there's his neighbor. Hey, Kenny, how are you? Not bad, but except it hurts. I just broke my toe. Oh, man. And then, in 30 seconds will pass and he won't tell anybody. So then he has to turn around and go back to the homeless guy because there's no one else around and tell him again. And then he goes back to the neighbor. And then there's a guy driving on the street. He stands in front of his car, makes him roll down his window, and tells him that he broke his toe. Oh, my God. If the day isn't perfect, he's going to tell you about it. That's the way I wrote it out in the show notes of the free podcast. And again, I got to be careful here. Because if I continue to expand on this bit, He's going to cancel and then throw a Molotov cocktail through the front window of my house and lose his mind. And then the next day, sign up for Patreon. It's unbelievable. Breaking news on Kenny, Maureen says.
Breaking news!
The breaking news on Kenny is that he cannot make a call on Wi-Fi. Maureen says, or Linda says, does Kenny have perfect days? I think so. There are good days, okay? I mean, I would hope so. Holy shit. I don't know if you saw the story about that Boeing airplane that started falling apart in the sky. This is the same, a Boeing airplane. You know how they had that door plug in that one giant jet, and they just put it on there and like put scotch tape on it to hold it in place. And they're 25,000 feet in the air, and the thing blows out. The air rips some kid's shirt off. Phone goes flying out. Amazingly, nobody else got sucked out of that thing. Now, the wings are falling apart on Boeing jetliners. Audio check, video check. Here you go.
You see this? A sky-high scare. A United Boeing 757 to Boston from San Francisco forced to make an emergency landing on Monday as the wing of the plane started to come apart in midair. Wow. Kevin Clark took this video right here. He joins us now. Kevin, this is terrifying. Tell me what happened.
Look how excited Kevin Clark is to be there.
Hey, Griff. Well, we were just wrapping up our second race of the World Pro Ski Tour season up in...
Oh, sure. He's going to get the plug in. What an asshole.
We're just wrapping up our second race of the World Pro Ski Tour season up in Bear Valley, California. We're about to get on our second...
The guy's like, yeah, shut up. Just fucking tell me the details.
Like ...of the flight to head back to Boston. Put my head... phones in my
okay, skip the fucking labor, give me the baby.
Sound deadening earbuds, put my neck pillow on and went to sleep. The plane takes off and I heard the most violent shuddering and shaking I've ever experienced on a flight. It stopped immediately within several seconds, so I just nodded off, went back to sleep. I don't know how much later it was, a pilot came walking down the aisle and went behind me and looked out the window, went back to the cockpit and came on the PA system and said, we're going to be diverting to Denver. There's some minor damage to, the front of the wing. So I immediately threw my window open to look at the wing, and the trailing edge of the strut was totally, destroyed, like you see in a picture. And at that point, I'm like, well, that's not little damage, but if...
Is it just me or what? I have been like, God damn it, just keep flying. Come on.
The United pilot is confident enough to get us to Denver. I guess we're on our way.
Wow, you see it in the movies, but you never think you're going to be doing it in real life. Is this...
You see it in the movies? What are you talking about? Landing in Denver with the scratch on the wing?
Now going to change your travel habits?
What a dumb question. Is this going to change your travel habits?
I don't think so. The pilot said that it won't affect the flyability of the plane. Apparently it's a delamination of that composite trailing edge of that strut.
Yeah.
When it was down, came apart. I don't think it'll change my travel plans, though.
Kevin, I've only got about 15 seconds left here, but what was the reaction to this video that you put out?
Boredom, because that's what I am.
Oh, it's been crazy. I've been, getting news outlets from all over the country, all over the world. In fact, wanting to speak to me. It's been a full day of...
And I've been talking about the stupid ski tour because of it.
...of travel. We didn't get off the plane to Boston until 1 o'clock. And,
wow.
Just glad to be on the ground at home.
And we are glad you are here and safe. A lot of near misses and flying is getting more dangerous. Kevin Clark,
shut up.
Thank you very much. Have a great Wednesday.
This is so stupid. Thanks, Griff. What a waste of time. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Watch live.
The picture looked worse on my tiny screen. Chris says, good grief. Can you imagine seeing that out the window? First thing I would have thought was, I was like, I just don't want to be slowed down. Let's not say anything. Keep it under wraps. Linda says, I hope I don't own Boeing stock. Well, you probably do. You're so filthy rich. Paul McCartney's bass guitar was found after 50 years. This bass right here that he's using in this picture. I guess in 1971, he like played a song and then he set the damn thing down and he went out to have like a smoke. I see that, Chris. I'll get to that in a second. He went out to have a smoke. Comes back and the bass is gone. He's like, where's my fucking bass at? I want to play some songs. I don't know. Some asshole stole the bass. Stole it. He's like, God damn it. Somebody give me another bass. They get him a bass and that's it. He's pissed off because he's had it for a while, but, you know, he's Paul McCartney. You could probably have five of them made in an instant. Just like that one. I'm sure he did. But for some reason, some organization launched a group called the Lost Bass Project because they wanted to find Paul's guitar. I guess the idea is 50 years later, we can somehow come up with it. And I'm not sure if they just started to like work the case on their own. In fact, actually, that is how they did it. Working the case on their own to get the information to finally locate the goddamn guitar. As soon as they launched the website, it was explained to People Magazine. They got over 100 leads on it last year. And these are just, you know, regular citizens. It's not like Cox. Like cops. Cox. Oh, God damn it. Maybe I'm not ready for the radio. It's not like Cox. Oh, that's totally embarrassing. I just said Cox. That's frightening. They received a tip that the bass was stolen from a van in London in October of 72. The fans found out that the thief sold it to the owner of the Admiral Blake pub in London and went from there. How did they not know that then, though? How would they know that now but not then? You know? We suspected that the lost bass had probably stayed in the same family ever since. So I guess the idea was reach out to the family and, you know, you got a couple more, like 2.5 generations since the thing was fucking stolen. I just found out that a generation is 20 years. I didn't know that. So maybe somebody has it, like it's sitting in their basement and they don't even know that it belonged to Paul McCartney. But I'm pretty sure that's how, because it doesn't really say specifically what the next step was. All it says was that they got the damn thing back. And so they lead you to believe in the article that that bass, which you saw it if you watched that Peter Jackson Get Back. That's the bass that Paul used. It was also heard on Love Me Do, She Loves You, Twist and Shout, and even early Abbey Road recordings. It dates back to when they first became a band in the UK as early as 1961. When members of the Lost Bass Project first united and publicized their movement last year, they shared that their sole intention was to get the bass back to where it once belonged. Get back to where you once belong. The devoted following added, Paul McCartney has given us so much over the last 62 years. The Lost Bass Project is our chance to give something back. Well, they got it. And they gave it back to Paul. And Paul was like very grateful about that, at least outwardly. Can you imagine if like they had a, when they gave it back to him, if they had a camera beside or behind the building that he was in And you see, like, the door open up to the alley and the bass fly out and land in a dumpster.
Cops, new episode Friday on Fox Nation.
And that video going viral. He's like, I don't want this fucking thing. It's a piece of shit. Who knows where this has been? Get this garbage bass out of here. In all seriousness, it probably could fetch a lot of money. I always, when I saw that thing, I was like, God damn it. Paul's bass looks like a violin. There they are. Great picture. Chris says, EZ, did you hear the story about John Gibbs? Now, that's the guy, the black dude who works with Ottawa Impact, who dominates the Ottawa County Commission. He ran for Congress and lost to a Democrat in District 3 in Grand Rapids, Kent County area. First time a Democrat's won that spot in like 40 years. He was backed by Trump. He lost. Then he resurfaces in Ottawa County as the county administrator, a hired position. They hired him because he's MAGA, an extreme right wing. Well, then Ottawa, he lost favor with them because he hired a guy who was a young dude and then overlooked a guy who was much more qualified to be his assistant. And so the guy who got overlooked sued the county for age discrimination, and he's going to win. At about that time, Gibbs starts hearing that they're not happy with him about all of that. And he starts to think that he's going to get fired. So he has his lawyer draft a letter saying, need I remind you, you cannot fire John Gibbs. We talked about it here. You can only fire him for insubordination, derelict of duty, or any other malfeasance of cause. You can't just fire him. Now, you could make the argument that him hiring the young guy over the old guy is that actually is cause. Who knows? But Gibbs smelled the writing or saw the writing on the wall. You can't smell the writing. I guess you could if you wrote it in poop. But he's like, okay, yeah. So he fires this warning shot. You better not fire me. Well, since then, it's all gone downhill. Last commission meeting, Gibbs was nowhere to be found. He didn't even show up. And today they had a special meeting and they just announced that Gibbs has been placed on administrative leave, has been placed on leave with pay. And in fact, it's crazy because they actually voted on it, the 11 commissioners, and they all voted to put him on leave, but the Democrat did not. Doug Zylstra from Holland, Michigan, he voted to not put him on administrative leave. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So they're going to have the deputy, the young guy that they hired and subsequently is going to get sued for filling in for now. The board's vote came after the commissioners spent more than an hour in closed session to discuss complaints against Gibbs and consider his offer of resignation. He made an offer to them. Just the other day, pay me like $630,000 and I leave. So that would be another huge amount of money that if they did agree to that, and I don't know if they are going to agree to that. This is hot on the heels of the health department with Hambly trying the $4 million that she apparently was offered. And that deal was not upheld by a judge, though. So she is still on the clock working despite that horrible work environment. Moss said during today's meeting that Gibbs's attorney later lowered that figure to $420,000. Mr. Gibbs is not demanding a king's ransom like some of his contemporaries. The letter said from Gibbs's attorney wrote, referencing the $4 million that Hambly's attorney said the board had agreed to pay her. I guess big picture here. you've got a guy who was lockstep with these scumbags,
Kevin, what
and how quickly
the
they turn on each other. Okay, very, very ugly.
Like
this is all business that goes on regularly in Ottawa County. Again, prior to this happening, last January, when these people took over, just over a year ago, it seems like 5 years ago. County government was very, very bold. And now it's mired in lawsuits and cost and hatred and all that shit. It is an ugly... I live in a very, very ugly place that the rest of the United States is pointing at and laughing. Okay, that's where I live.
According to Goldman, it's
surrounded by wackos.
Right now, if you take a look at this, you can see where President Biden...
Am I playing something that shouldn't be played? I think I am. Something was just rolling that shouldn't be rolling. Some piece of audio. I wonder how long that was going for. Might have been just a few seconds. Chris says ads playing in the background. Sorry about that. Adam says fiscal conservatives here. Remember that. So... the number one thing that makes the people where I live move is money. That's what he's referring to. Absolutely the dollar. Okay? The idea that, you know, they're all just like banging the drum for Ottawa Impact because they're fighting over getting revenge for masks and shit like that. That only goes so far. So it will be amazing to see how this goes. Chairman Moss is being challenged by the mayor of Nutsonville. So that's going to be awesome. I'm going to vote for that guy, even though he's a conservative too. All right. I have changed my political leanings over the years to left of center. That is where I am. My far left? No. Am I described as a lib? No. Just a little left of center. I'm actually conservative when it comes to fiscal things and liberal when it comes to cultural things. Some might call me a libertarian, but I hate libertarians. I'm an Eric. The party of Zane. The Zane party is what it needs to be. And the only way you can be in my party is if you fix your hair. Ladies and gentlemen, I am out of time. Thank you very much for being here. I will talk to you tonight. We're starting later, probably around 6:40, for Who Are These Free Beers? Everything's going to run a little later today. Stay tuned for updates on Patreon. Thank you for being here today, and goodbye.
Time in Northern Michigan.
What was that? Welcome to you all. Thank you for being here. That is Darla being very well behaved after a morning when she was quarantined. Very, very unhappy with that. Kevin writes, Kid Rock was on Rogan. Okay. Hold on. I'm responding to a text. All right. Kid Rock on Rogan. I don't think I'm going to watch that. Because every time I hear Kid Rock talk, that puts more time between me and actually enjoying his music. Because he's so undeniably retarded that I can't do it. He's that stupid. So that's kind of the way I am about it. It's like, yeah, so I don't want to hear from him. Anytime that guy talks, he's just so goddamn stupid. that it just drives me up a wall. Well, anyway, welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Patreon bonus. Hope you're all doing wonderfully. I want to share with you a little story. The lady was driving a bus, and the students were tormenting her. This video is making the rounds right now. And the bus driver freaked out, okay? And the students had been, like, no lie, from what I read, putting tacks, like, onto the seat, and she'd get stabbed. And it said needles, like hypodermic needles. And I'm like, wow, I really find that hard to believe. I don't know, but that's what it indicated. Story also went on to say that the students found out that the bus driver was allergic to perfumes. So the kids would just spray it into the air. All right. So the bus driver is fucking driving the kids to school and then has had it and freaks out. And somebody, some brilliant kid started to record. So I haven't seen this yet. I watched like the first 10 minutes or 10 seconds where it says, God damn it, how much more do you expect me to fucking take the bus driver? So let's get into it and see what's up here.
Fucking take. Give me the perfume. I didn't do anything.
I can smell it.
I didn't do anything. I didn't spray anything.
Okay, so we all know the kid's lying. So then she turns her rage to another kid.
Sick of you. I'm sick of all of this shit. I'm done with it. I'm gonna start kicking some fucking serious ass.
This reminds me of, like, this is Sarah Rookruck Roosh. Sarah is this much of an ass kicker. She, oh boy, you do not want to piss her off. I just picture Sarah doing this.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
My foot's going to be so far up your goddamn ass, it's going to dangle out your goddamn nose.
Yes. I am so with her.
I'm done with you. That phone in your bag. Now you give it to me.
All right, fine.
I'm done. God dang it, I can fucking smell it.
I didn't spray anything.
I'm allergic to this shit.
Open her backpack. I didn't spray anything. It's right in the big backpack.
You like to start shit too, Maya. You're no innocent angel here. I'm done with this shit. Done.
This was my bus driver when I was a kid, Mr. Nowicki. When you are a bus driver, you want to concentrate on the road. This is a great bus driver. All she wants to do is her job, and these little fucking dicks are fucking her up.
I've had my fill. I'm done with it. I'm going to walk off this goddamn bus right now and let you people walk the fuck home. How much more do you think anybody can freaking take? Shut your mouth. I don't want to hear another goddamn word out of your mouth.
Okay.
Uh-oh, the kid said okay, and she whips around.
Okay. Excuse me, what did I just fucking tell you? You think it's funny? You're all, no, you didn't.
It is funny. I mean, yeah, let's be honest here. This is hilarious.
You're so full of shit, Jackson. You're as bad as he is. Done. Not another goddamn word out of any of you. Okay. Done.
Okay, now she's at the front of the bus.
Somebody needs to come up on this bus and seriously kick some fucking ass.
Oh, now she's moving again. Did you hear the kid go, send that to me? Oh, this is, she said, I used to love this job. She's at her wit's end. After months of torment, this bus driver loses her cool and quits her job mid-shift. I don't know about that. There's some corgis racing. I could watch that all day.
God damn it!
So that was... I'm so happy that that happened. That is... my God. Maureen says Sarah wouldn't take that shit from those kids. No, no, no. Chris says kids can be the worst. Aaron says, isn't this a really old vid? Yeah, a few years ago. First time I've seen it. First time I've seen it, yeah. But it's making the rounds. That's the only reason why they show up on my radar, even if it is old. There's always one wet blanket. There's always the Aarons who throw the wet blanket on the deal. Oh, yeah, this is old. What is your deal? It's new to me. You're the only one here who's seen that. The quote, I will drive this bus off a cliff. Oh, my God. I wonder if she got fired for that. She probably got put in jail. Holy crap. All right. This story from somewhere in Georgia, along the banks of the world-famous Chattahoochee River, Columbus, Georgia. A guy is fishing with his pals. They're throwing and dropping a line in. And this guy gets a bite like you wouldn't believe. And he's like, oh, man, this is a large catfish. And they're like, you're not kidding. And he's like, I'm serious. It's not putting up much of a fight, but this is big. It all went down where he was like reeling it in, and he got the impression that he might have like snagged it or something like that. Have you ever seen, you know, heard sometimes people snag a fish, which isn't great, but you know, the kind of like the hook just buries itself in the side of the fish. You don't want that, but sometimes that happens. So he gives it a yank. He's like, all right, I got to bring this thing in. Bringing it in. God damn, this thing is huge. Not putting up much of a fight, but it's big. God damn, maybe you got one at the end of its life cycle or something. And then, hang on. I got a chive. I had a salad just before the show. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Sorry. He's reeling it in. He's like, okay, guys, we're going to eat catfish tonight. And then as it got closer, they're like, oh, it's definitely giving up. It's just floating on the top as he reels it in. And then they see something that they've never seen on a catfish before. That would be arms, legs, torso, and head. It's a dude. They snagged a dead dude. And the guy reeled it in, and he's like, holy shit, what the fuck?
To follow that,
I've got
breaking-
a guy on my line. Sarah checks in with bus driver lady. That was fantastic. Here's the news update about guy who caught a dude.
News now, a body found in the Chattahoochee River.
That's according to Muskogee County's coroner, who's on scene along with first responders. News Leader 9's Gabriella Johnson, also where this is all happening along the Chattahoochee Riverwalk.
And Gabriella joins us live. So, Gabriella, it's been an active scene since we first reported this about an hour ago now. Tell us the latest tonight.
Barbara, Jason, I'm just a little quarter of a mile, just about from the Rotary Park on the Chattahoochee River walk in. That's where the coroner, Muskogee County coroner, Columbus Fire Rescue, and police department were out here after a body was found. And apparently, from what I've heard as I've been on the scene, there were a group of fishermen. And one of the fishermen that I actually spoke to is the one who pulled the body. His hook caught it. So that's what.
You know, when they reel that in as it's coming to the shore. They're like, oh, God, do they like pull it out of, or do they just leave it in there? I would assume they would pull the body out. I mean, because in the event that whoever it is, unless it was like, you know, been in there for a long, long time and bloated and obviously not alive, I would just, you know, because I'm picturing them pulling the body out and like the arms come off and then they like fall backwards, you know, shit like that.
We're working and learning. That's the latest that we do know. The coroner and the rest of the rescue team have gone a little bit back near Bulldog Bait and Tackle to figure things out and everything. And that's where I'll be headed to learn more from the coroner about who this person
is. All right, I think we got B-team news here.
Is, or if they're able to identify and everything. So we will keep you guys with the latest. Back to you.
Yeah. All right, certainly a heavy police presence out there this afternoon. And I know you will continue to follow all of this for us, Gabby, and keep us updated. Thank you.
Much more tonight on the news at 11.
Oh, my God. But, Jesus. Yeah, that's going to put a damper on the old fishing trip, you know. And then, you know, you think about it. If the fishermen had caught any other fish that they were planning on keeping, do you want the fish that have been like passing corpse juice through their gills? Stevie says, was she saying coroner? You mean like the reporter? I don't know. I know that she said bulldog as boo dog or bow dog.
Near bulldog.
That's typically a southern thing. A lot of times with our African-American brothers
back
and sisters,
the coroner and the rest of the rest,
a word like bull
learning, that's the latest book caught it, so that's what we're working in. Learning
comes out as bull
learning, that's the latest that we do know. The coroner and the rest of the rescue team.
No, she said coroner, didn't she? I thought she said coroner.
Latest that we do know. The coroner and the rest of the rescue team have gone a little bit back near Bulldog Bait and Tackle.
Bulldog.
To figure things out and everything.
All right. Yeah, she's new. She's pretty green. She's probably messed up. Anyone ever discover a body? Chris says, through their gills, they've been eating. Oh, yeah, that's right. They've been eating that guy. He's the fish are full of dude. You're right. Oh, my God. Maybe she does say coroner. I don't know. She sounded out. Aaron says she sounds out of breath. Yeah, I think, you know, you get a new person on TV and they're kind of a little wet behind the ears, kind of suck. Stevie says, yes. I mean, not at a funeral. Diana's brother, when the NFK's brother kicked the bucket. It's like, oh, God, no way. Yeah, we had to go. It was awful. That's, I think, the only time that I've witnessed that. It's not much fun. Maureen says, no, I've never caught a body. Well, I meant like just seen a body. Nick in the arena says, radio legend Jay Thomas talked about reeling up a big duffel bag wrapped with chains by New Orleans. He said they just clipped the line and let it sink. Oh, no. Fuck. Are you kidding me? Hurricane Ashley is here after she hurt the feelings of Jimmy in Maine last night on the Patreon bonus podcast. You know, Jimmy's already a bundle of nerves. Guy can't even put two sentences together on a good day. And we're showing his movie, and Ashley starts in the chat talking about how bored she is and how much it sucks. And I'm like, God damn it. And then I don't even know he's reading that. And then he starts getting frustrated because she's telling him how shitty it is. I'm like, God damn it. Stop. She writes, Jimmy hurt my feelings by being so boring. She says, that was the lamest Patreon yet. Movie chat. Yeah, I was... I actually, it's funny you say that because I knew it. I wasn't feeling, I was not up for that. I was, uh, I, I have no excuse other than that I was exhausted. I was like, oh, shit, I'm fucking tired. I got to figure this out. The huge show was just killing me yesterday. Kevin says, yes, on the side of the road in Hawaii, guy went too far out in the ocean and couldn't make it back in time. Oh, my God. Maureen says we need to rewatch that whole movie. Patrick says, oh, no. Yeah, Ashley, if she's got something on her mind, it's coming out. It's coming out. She's not going to pull any punches. She's going to tell you how much it sucks. Ashley says it was the podcast equivalent of big plans this weekend. Aram says, I thought it was a little disrespectful to fast forward through his movie. Oh, it was horrible. It was terribly disrespectful. Everything about it, everything about that show was disrespectful, frankly. If you skipped it, I would understand. But I know when I finished it, I didn't feel good. I was like, God damn it. I think this was not my best work. One of those things. Have you ever had that where you're like, I think I did a shitty job on that. All right. Ashley then indicts Aram and calls him a wuss. What did Aram do? What is wrong with you? Why are you, what's gotten into you? Maureen says, that's why we need to watch it again. We missed most of it. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think at some point. Nick says, Easy was jumping through that movie like he was searching for the money shot. Stevie says, I wanted to see it too. Yeah, we'll have to go back and do it. I know Ashley recently canceled her Patreon. So what we'll do is we'll wait until she's, because it gets to finish out the month. And then when she's not around, the rest of us normal people will actually sit down and watch the film, another Jimmy Film Festival, a redo. I can promise that. How does that sound? Maybe split it into two parts. That's another good suggestion. All right. Ashley says, I'm just teasing. I don't know if she's teasing about what she said about Aram or what she said about Jimmy's movie. I think what she said about Aram, because I think she's pretty not teasing about Jimmy's movie. Ashley says, I can always make Thursday nights. Well, you're not. Yeah, but you canceled your Patreon. There's only one way you can watch it. That's if you're on Patreon. So when that runs out, which will be eventually, then you won't be there at all because, you know, that. All right. Anyway, enough about that. They landed that lunar lander on the moon, and talk about disappointing. They have no footage of it. And like, we had footage from multiple cameras from years ago when they dropped one down on Mars. How do they not have a camera when they dropped it down on the moon? But there's nothing. I watched that damn thing, and all they did was showed Master Control going, yay, we did it. The touchdown came and went. Then they received a signal that it had landed. It is a 14-foot carbon fiber craft that landed on the moon. NASA gave the company that put the thing out there, it's private, $118 million to build and fly it. Part of its effort to commercialize lunar deliveries ahead of the planned return of astronauts in a few years. So that thing goes there, and I don't think it comes back. I think it just stays there. The company is called Intuitive. Let's see. There was a interesting thing. NASA sent technological and navigation experiments up there. And a company that makes sportswear, Columbia, you know, outerwear, they sent up its newest insulating jacket fabric. Why? I don't know. Also going up, some rich-ass sculptor by the name of Jeff Koons sent up 125 mini moon figurines. Why? I don't know. Also, a aeronautical university, I guess, had a set of cameras to capture pictures of the descending lander, but we don't have that yet. So I'm hoping to God that that happens soon. So I don't know if this is all in an effort to get to the point where there's going to be lunar tourism, but I can't think of anything that I would love more than to be on the goddamn moon. Holy shit. I would be interested in it well after, I mean, after we had about 5 years of no problems. Okay. I mean, we can't even get down to see the Titanic. I mean, I think it's one thing to send astronauts up, but I think it's a little bit different when it comes to sending people to the moon. I for some reason, I want it to happen, but I'm kind of concerned that it won't, that something bad could happen. James says, I was pissed too. I thought it crashed. Aram says, Jimmy's movies aren't for everyone. I understand. Ashley says, well, the reason why Ashley can't get on board, because her brain operates on another level, okay? You got about 5 seconds before the ADHD is going to put it in another direction. She can't hang. She says, I'll find another $10 if it's worth it. Based on last night, you're losing your touch. Oh, okay. All right. There we go. Aram says it might be time for Ben and Eric to rebrand. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know what you're suggesting there. It's really difficult to try to translate where people are coming from sometimes in the chat, you know? I don't know what you mean by that. And Ashley, it's like, oh, God. Ashley is the one that... I think everything out of her mouth must be taken with probably the biggest grain of salt that has ever existed. All right. While I agree it wasn't our best work, I'm thinking she might be overreacting slightly. You know, she's up at this level and everyone else is like here. She's on a totally different plane. She's very hyper, very, very hyper. Okay. And you got her for about 8 seconds and then she's gone and she's going to like take off her shirt. It's fucking crazy. Aram says, I didn't mean anything by that. Assuming that is what Ashley is suggesting. Ah, okay. I think we need to go to the direction of only easy fans. Yeah. I don't know. She says that really gets the people going. We're still recovering from that. Madam, still recovering. Sarah says she always enjoys it, as do I. As do I. All right. I've got fires to put out today. Since the end of the free podcast till today, we're having two major family issues. I get a text from Jackie that says, I need your help. I'm like, oh, no. All right, without getting too much into it, as my once little kids, who are now all adults, one is trying to get in the other one's lane. It's all about the lanes. I'm going to stay in my lane. Jackie wants to get out of her lane and get into Madison's lane. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not going to give you all the details because I don't want it to get out. It's just too much. But I actually had to say, do you realize that if you continue to have this attitude, this will be one of those moments that is going to affect your relationship with your sister for a long, long time and maybe forever. Start to wrap your mind around that and then ask yourself if it's worth it to have the attitude that you currently have. Or can you just fake it, get on board, and then go about your day? That's up to you. And she's like, well, why don't you do something? I go, I've got my own problems. I'm not getting involved in this. Yeah, but don't you care? I go, it's not about caring. It's about learning. If I start to try to parent my adult children, okay, granted, they're young. I mean, Jackie's 26, so not that young. Madison's 21, young. I go, if I start to parent at that age, how do they learn? How did you learn? Did I helicopter over you? No, I let you do stupid shit, and then you learned. That's how it goes. I'm not getting involved. I actually said I've got my own problems. I am done. I'm out. My chips have been cashed. I got to take care of mom's brother. All right? That's what I'm worried about. I'll take care of the dogs and Uncle Kevy's asshole and my business. I'm not getting involved in this. And that's it. I've said my piece. Forget it. I'm out. And then she wrote, you're too wise. I go, too wise? No, I'm the perfect amount of wise. You know? Stevie says, it seems like Madison would go no contact with someone who butts in. Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. Oh, big time. Yes. You gotta be careful, you know? I wish I could give you all the details. I know I'm being vague, but I have to. Because I don't want to know contact. I'm not getting involved. Fuck that shit. Folks, I appreciate you. Aaron says, any new NFK stories? Well, you know that if there is, you all will be the first to know. And it's part of the lifeblood of this show. Come on. Ashley says, Eric, you were bored too. Okay. One more thing about the Jimmy thing. I think had I been sharper, I could have found comedy in what we were doing. All right. I think it could have been hilarious. But I was circling the drain. So it was a perfect storm. That's why I was so bored, because I couldn't have any fun because I was literally fighting sleep. That's my final word on that. Okay. Thank you, folks. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. Welcome in. Eric St. Joe Podcast. Everything's in a different place, so it's all confusing to me, you know, after switching this room around. But I like it. I like it. I think it'll take some getting used to. But Kuipers is in the Dominican Republic. How about you? Maybe you'll find some hot tamale that you can bring home to mommy. You know, Kuipers, Jesus. I don't know what it is about blind people, but they're very forward. And I don't know if there's something that goes on, like when their eyes start betraying them or if they're born blind. But two of the blinds, I was in contact with two of the blinds. You know, we have a blind army of audience members. One of them has been reaching out to me for the longest time to sing the national anthem. And is just very, like, forward about it. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, and then finally, I guess the opportunity came to fruition. And she sang it on the game Saturday and was so good at it. I was like, you know, a lot of times you hear about blind people, their musical ability. I don't know why that is, like Stevie Wonder. This might all be just nonsense, but the Eric Zane Show podcast, Blind Brigade, as it's known. And then the young lady who sang the anthem, she's like, oh, I heard about the radio show. Can I be on it? And it's like, that's not really how it works. We don't just put people on the radio for no reason. Maureen adds to this conversation with, oh, my God, I met the most adorable blind puppy yesterday. Okay. That's awesome. That's nice. Okay. Very cool that you've met a blind puppy. Anyway. Saul, wait a minute. Kenny says, what was the girl that kept calling the BBL show? It was the girl who sang the anthem. Yeah, her. You nailed it. I forgot that I put her on. Why did I put her on? It's like, yeah, she was the one. And I didn't even know she could sing. She just kept saying, hey, I want to sing the anthem. And I'm like, oh, God. Okay. But she can actually sing. It was beautiful. Should have known. But then, like on Sunday, she sends me a message. She goes, please have the Griffins put the game on Facebook so I can listen and watch. Watch being, well, she said she wanted to listen. And I go, well, we don't really do it that way. It's not quite that simple. Kenny says it was because we were screening the calls live. Oh, God. Phone call roulette. I think we'll bring that back on the radio show. Phone call roulette. See what direction it takes us. And then there's another blind issue. I just want the blind folks to have a little bit more tact and sensibility. Tyler writes, she kept calling and you didn't have a call screener at the time. Then I think you had to ask her. I can't read it because there's something covering your line. I don't know why. There's always like an emoji covering it. Tell her to stop calling in all the time. Oh, ask her mom to tell her to stop calling in all the time. My God. Yeah, sometimes the text gets obscured by like this, your choice of emojis. Drives me crazy. Took out a keyword. So Saul reaches out to me. Hey, Eric, can I have hockey tickets? And it's always like that. And I'm like, you said to ask, and if no one was using them, that I could have them. I'm like, well, I did say that. I'll get back a hold of you. Turns out they weren't being used. I said, Saul, you're in luck. Okay, where do I pick them up? And I go, no. I'm going to send them to you. Who else is going? My brother and I. Now, his brother has autism. So, and I think Saul might have a touch of the tism, too. I'm not 100% sure on that. But anyway, Saul is like, he gets to the game, and I'm guessing it's him just riding the go bus, as he likes to do with his brother. And he's got his cane, and that's about it. And Saul has never let anything slow him down. Ever. Like, he played paintball with us. Imagine that. And I think somebody shot the shit out of him. Tyler, were you there for that? And then people were like, yeah, I'll teach you. And then he kind of like said, all right, I've had enough. He had like armor on and he had some guy who was helping him. So I get him the tickets. Are the tickets under Diana's name? I go, no, I'll text them to you. All right. The game's at 5. Yes, I just sent you the tickets. Kevin says he got shot four times. He was there. Tyler was also there. Then Saul tries to claim the tickets, and he must have hit the wrong button because I get a note. It says the tickets have been denied. And then he writes, it says I declined the transfer. Could you send them again? No worries. It's like, you would think for shit like that. I mean, just ask a sighted person to just hit that button. Second period. He texts me. We are here. Section 112. Where are you? Now, I'm working. So I'm like, way down at ice level. Then I'm like, I get ahead of the, I know the next line of questioning. He wants to walk up to where I'm at. Now, let me tell you, where I am in between the penalty boxes in that booth is surrounded by plexiglass. It's uncomfortable and awkward, the interactions that I have with people that have sight, because we can't communicate. I can't read lips. There's no way to hear them because it's tall glass and there's noise and it's impossible. I just wave. Imagine that, but a person who's blind. Think about all the limitations there. Like, how does he know that I'm even fucking looking at him? But he wants to, quote unquote, see me. Kenny writes, where are you? LOL. Behind the mic, dummy. Tyler writes, hey, Eric, can I be your co-host on your new show? Yeah, when's he going to say, hey, Eric, can I fuck your wife? So, wanting to get ahead of this, I write, Saul, I cannot really interact with anyone as I'm behind glass. Have a good time at the game. That's it. That should do it. Right? I mean, then he writes, if I walk around the glass, will I find you? I was like, you would never find me. I mean, if we were playing Marco Polo, I'm going to win that motherfucker, Saul. You're blind as fuck. His idea is go down the steps, touch the glass, and just walk along the glass and wait. I think he's suspecting that I'll like see him and stop him, and then I'll scream at him. And then is that what the payoff is? He's going to walk in front of all those fucking people. Between Saul and Aram, who would you rather have as co-host? I don't know. That's a tough one. Saul is so intensely oblivious to his limitations, and Aram's just oblivious. I don't know. Let's avoid that question line anymore, Kenny, because you were at sometimes the receiving end of a good beat up. And I didn't want to see your fucking name. In fact, if there was like a plane crash, I was hoping that it crashed into your house. And so maybe a good idea to dial it back a little bit. I'm still very salty about all of that bullshit earlier today. Quite salty. But Saul's not done. When he writes, if I walk around the glass, will I find you? And I wrote, no, sir. Now, he got into his seat during the second period. I got this text this morning at 7:24. We left the game after the second period because I was getting tired. But it was a fun experience. I don't remember the goal horn sounding every time as the team entered the ice. Is this new? And then I wrote, yes, that is new. So, you know, like when they score, the goal horn goes off. But now when like the second periods, they're coming back from the locker room to start the period, Let's welcome back your Grand Rapids Griffins. And then somebody hits the horn. Well, Saul picked up on that. So he wants to know if that's new or not. Well, yes, that's new. All right. In my personal opinion, I am not a big fan of it. The crowd noise is already loud, and I don't need a loud horn blasting in my ear every 20 minutes. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks for that. I didn't ask for that, but all right, if you feel so inclined to let me know. So basically, we go through all this rigmarole to get you the tickets. You finally get to the fucking game. You stay there for 15 minutes, and then you don't like it, and you tell me. You're right. Overall, it was a fantastic time. Overall, it was a fun experience. It doesn't sound like it was a fun experience. Tyler writes, "Hey, Eric, can you do play-by-play through the speakers for me?" Aaron says this relationship seems to be a burden. Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. I don't think I'm going to give him tickets anymore. So, Saul, if you're listening to this, maybe this will be part of your development. Beggars can't be choosers. Typically, when someone gets something free or someone does something nice for them, you then don't turn around and bitch. Also, why the fuck would I want to, like, say hi through the glass? Okay? God damn it. I think I need to go back to the drawing board about barriers. Today is full of barrier building. This is a Trump build the wall day today. After all the shit I've been through and interactions like this. God damn it. What a fucking fatiguing, exhausting set of scenarios this is. I'm way too nice to people. I think I need to really amp up the intensity of being more of a cock. All right? Tyler writes, "You would think the extra noise would enhance his daredevil vision." By the way, Aaron, you were, in fact, a wet blanket last week, in case you're wondering. You were the wet blanket. When discussing the crazy old lady on the bus, you were the one to give us the wet blanket scenario treatment with the, "Oh, yeah, this is old." Okay. And because of that, that made me wanting to beat the shit out of Amanda that much easier. You didn't get the brunt of it. She did. Okay? Nobody gives a fuck if something is old. Oh, my God. Yeah, this is old. All right. The Angel of Death is retiring from the Air Force. I'm going to try to do this by memory and then fill in the details. That's the way I like to do these stories. Her name is Colonel Allison Black of the United States Air Force. She's known as the Angel of Death because a Taliban gave her that name. They found out who she is and they're like, "Oh God, here she comes again, the Angel of Death." So she's a high-ranking colonel in the Air Force, and she, during right after 9/11, when we started to fuck up Afghanistan, the first wave of attacks she was in, it is called a C-130 gunship, I think it's what it's known as, and I'd like to show you that so you can get an idea. She's the pilot of the C-130 gunship that is flying over Afghanistan. Okay, so this one right here, the biggest picture, that's a C-130. Now, it has a 40-millimeter cannon and a 105-millimeter cannon. And there's people, like, she's the pilot, and there's gunners that are manning the guns, you know, like Full Metal Jacket. "Get some! Get some!" Okay, so this big fucking plane is flying over the battlefield. Now, as I understand it, in the early days of the invasion, we sent like a dozen Marines who were on fucking horseback going through Afghanistan. Doesn't matter why or how, but she was aware that there was a large battalion of Taliban that they were going to encounter. And there was no time to act. No one could actually do anything to support these guys on horseback except her. So as she's flying ahead of them, there's a stronghold or a fortress where it turns out there was hundreds of Taliban in there that were going to fuck these guys up when they came across them. So this colonel, who became known as the Angel of Death, Colonel Allison Black, they figured out through the intelligence that that thing was there, and she flew over, and she had a laser pointer. That's part of her instrumentation as she's piloting, and she's pointing the laser pointer where the gunners need to shoot the shit out of it, and they did. With her in the goddamn airplane is a member of the Afghanistan forces who want the Taliban gone, and they're like blown away because they're like, a woman is doing this, and that's like, you know, in Afghanistan, those morons, they have no idea that women are actually completely capable of doing everything that a dude could do. So those fucking morons are the ones who gave her the name the Angel of Death over the first battlefield after 9/11, according to the story, A Legacy in Air Force and Special Warfare History, along with a milestone for women in modern combat. Well, the reason why this is coming out as a story is because she's retiring. She's had it. She's kind of cute, too, by the way. There she is. She's got kind of a weird look on her face, but I like the way that hair is long but tied up, the military fatigues. And you know me. I love my old women. Where are my old bitches at? Aaron writes, couldn't help it. Low-hanging fruit. Bullshit. You could have helped it. Kenny says, cue Angel of Death by Slayer. No, but this is really a cool story. It was during the battle for Kunduz, Afghanistan in late 01 that Black, then a first lieutenant, became the Angel of Death. It was darkness below, a dozen Green Berets, who would soon be known as the Horse Soldiers, fought their way across Afghanistan on horseback. The outnumbering was something that the guys on horseback had no idea of. My job on the AC-130 is to relay everything that we're seeing through our sensors. I was likely the only female aviator talking on a radio, so if I screwed up, everybody was going to know it was me. So I was pretty particular about what I was saying. Riding with the Tiger O2 was the senior Afghan warlord, General Abdul Rashid Dostum, a legendary combat leader. He heard the woman's voice, and he was like, what the fuck? He looked at our American Special Forces and said, is that a woman? And they're like, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. He's like, oh, America is so determined. They bring their women to kill Taliban. He couldn't believe it. I love that. So this Afghani guy is actually riding on horseback with the Green Berets. The Afghani and the Green Berets was the former Taliban leader, Mohammad Fazal, who was actively speaking with the Taliban group, saying, look, there's trouble coming. The soldier said in an anonymous interview, Fazal hears a voice as it's being explained to him through the translators that we have the Angel of Death overhead and we possess the death ray. The death ray was the laser pointer that they used to pinpoint the targets to train the guns on. But the Afghan fighters believe that the laser itself was the weapon. You know, these are fucking cavemen. If they don't surrender now, all of their troops will burn in hell. Faisal jumped on the radio and his men were surrendering within minutes. We got to disgrace the enemy and protect our friendly forces. That's it. That is fucking intense. So we are now, the soldiers eventually gave Black an AK-47, a gift from the Afghanis to the Angel of Death. And the story the soldiers told her had already spread. She's like, what was that fucking Tom Cruise movie? Where he keeps going back, you know, it's like a fighting the aliens version of Groundhog Day. Because he's got like the alien blood, the mimics inside of him. And there's that chick there that keeps killing all the bad fucking aliens. That's what she reminds me of. Kenny says she doesn't look old. Well, she's kind of old. Well, anyway, she's retiring. I just thought it was something interesting. If any of you want to point out anything like, that's old, or they talked about that yesterday on the news, or I don't like this story, or fuck you, please fuck off. Please just fuck off. The guy who walked out in front of the Israeli embassy in D.C. and lit himself on fire is dead. This fucking asshole. Who knows if he has a family? I think he's in his 20s. He's some psychopath. He's pissed off because Israel is kicking all manner of ass in Gaza. And that's the new thing. People are suggesting that war is like genocide and whatever the fuck. And no, it's just a war. It's just a run-of-the-mill war. And so, you know, every time you turn around, there's somebody protesting Israel. And this guy, even though he's a United States Air Force member, was doing that too. And he went in front of the embassy and, Edge of Tomorrow, that is the movie. And this dickhead poured gas all over himself and set himself on fire. Lived about 24 hours after and has since died. That is his protest. Yelling free Palestine. Yeah, I don't get it. You know, out of all the things that have happened in the world today, you get the Palestinians go and kill 1,300 Jews who are just living their best lives. And then Israel responds and says, all right, we've had it. We're going to go through Gaza with a fine-tooth comb and we're going to kill every motherfucker that we suspect who is a member of Hamas. All right? We're going to fucking put the hurt on you so goddamn bad. You won't even fucking dream about doing this ever again. And then after we destroy all your shit, we're going to leave and then you're going to clean it up. That is fucking great. And it's remarkable to me that people have a problem with this. That is why we call it war. This dickhead put it on a live stream too, on Twitch, lighting himself on fire. I will no longer be complicit in genocide in Gaza. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest, the man said before setting himself alight and repeatedly shouting, free Palestine, as he burned. The man says his name is Aaron Bushnell. At the start of the clip, according to footage circulating online, a spokesman for the Air Force confirmed that the protest is an active duty airman. He's now dead, though they would not discuss his identity or rank. Authorities at the scene can be heard asking, may I help you, sir? May I help you, sir? That's like something a waiter would say. And yelling at the man to get down on the ground when he was on fire. You see, I wouldn't have done that. I would have said, run around, wave your arms, put more gas on you. Look at this asshole. One person sprayed the guy with a fire extinguisher while another appeared to draw his gun. Why did you draw your gun? I don't get it. Badly injured. By the time first responders arrived, the flames had already been extinguished by members of the U.S. Secret Service. Boy, what a job. Man was transported to a local hospital. He reported today that he's dead. You know, makes you wonder, God damn it. These people that are in the military, sometimes I'm like, I think we need a little bit more, maybe a little bit more check of the brain before we, I don't know. It's fucking nuts. The mystery of the missing leg has been solved in New York. People who were taking mass transit, you know, you're standing there waiting for the train and somebody's like, hey, what the fuck? There's a leg down there. It's ripped off. It's someone's actual leg. First, they're like, maybe it's one of those gag legs, you know? But no. Some hunting has determined that it belonged to a dude that I guess got hit by the train. And this was like many, many stations away. All right. And I think there was so there's a long distance and time from the actual dismemberment. The dude got struck by a train at a Manhattan subway station on the night of February 12th. That was at his leg goes flying off. And then so he's dead. And then the leg kind of got hung up by like leg meat or something like that. And they dragged it all the way to the fucking Bronx. So it went like under the river. And then at some point it like fell off. So that's 9 miles away. The train dragged the guy's leg for like 9 miles. Stevie says, I'm surprised it didn't get eaten by rats. Oh my God, yes. And then the smell is like, what is that? The subway always stinks, but God damn. So 9 miles later, that thing shows up. So if it happened on February 12th, all right, wait a minute. The first, because it was several days. He was struck by the train on February 12th, and then February 17th, they found the leg. You have to wonder if, like, the family had the funeral for the guy with no leg before they found the leg. Or if they didn't, did they take the leg and deliver it to the family and they, like, just put it in the coffin where his leg was and reunite him with his leg? Or do they just pitch it, leave it there? I don't know. God damn, that would fuck me up if I saw a leg just there, you know, seriously. Trump has announced that he strongly supports IVF. Now, this is what's interesting about this is, you know, in Alabama, they said, all right, those embryos that all these people have made for IVF, those are real babies. Those are actual children. Now, that is... how do I say? Retarded. They're not. And the court says, oh, yeah, they are. So that means all these IVF clinics are, God damn it, we're going to get sued. People are going to get arrested. This is terrible. So you got all these people who want to be moms and dads who now they can't be moms and dads in the state of Alabama. I mean, this is a critical, critical thing for people who all they want to do is have babies. And, you know, when you do that, you You extract mom's eggs and then dad's jizz. And then the scientists merge, you know, they do it in a test tube, whatever, test tube baby. And then they take them and then they have several viable, you know, eggs that are fertilized. And then they implant them in the mom's womb. That's the Reader's Digest version of how to get pregnant in a lot of ways. There are people listening to the show who they got pregnant that way and had their children that way. And now, all of a sudden, they've said, nah, which is absolute horseshit. So the concern is for these far-right wackos is that, you know, if you have all these viable eggs and then, okay, you're done, you just destroy them. I mean, you fucking flush them down the toilet. Who gives a shit? But we're in this weird spot in the world, in our culture, that, you know, when it comes to rights of the unborn, or in this case, the right of a single cell or a two cell fucking little thing, that they're treating it like it's a human being, which is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard of. This is a horrible thing. Well, Trump is like, God damn it. Let's get fucking, this is terrible. And I wondered what some of you who hate Trump feel about this, because Trump's a Republican who the evangelicals love. So the evangelicals love the fact that, you know, these little things, you can't get IVF in Alabama because evangelicals are fucking stupid. But they love Trump. And Trump's saying, I love IVF. You know, we got to be able to do that. And he's right. He's absolutely right. And he's come out very strongly. And I'll say this. He comes out very strongly about it. Joe Biden needs to come out strongly about these things. Maybe he has, but it's more newsworthy when Trump says it, because he's not afraid to fucking piss off his base. He doesn't give a shit. And say what you will, that goes a long way with people. Now, you might be like, oh, God, is EZ going to vote for Trump? Of course not. Of course not. I'm not going to vote for fucking Trump. But I think it's very interesting in the landscape for Trump to buck the trend and say, fuck you. I absolutely support IVF. He's calling on lawmakers in Alabama to preserve access to the treatment. It's his first comment since the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that ruling that led some providers in the state to suspend their in vitro fertilization programs and has left Republicans divided over the issue. I think Trump should just leave the party and just make his own party, because he's a Republican in name only, really. You know, he's so fucking his own person. You know, he could just say it's the Trump party. Why not? I mean, it doesn't. Trump could say that he was in the suck my dick party. OK, he could say whatever the fuck he wanted and he would win. That not only shows how strong of a following he has, but also shows how shitty his opponent is. All right. There is a primary tomorrow in the great state of Michigan. Trump and Haley. And this is all foregone conclusion. He beat the shit out of her the other day in South Carolina, which is her home state. Okay, come on now. God damn. So anyway, let's see. Trump posted about it on Truth Social. He said in his post, he steered clear of declaring embryos to be distinct humans worthy of legal protection. His statement focused instead on the practical considerations for would-be parents trying to start families. It's moments like this that Trump will get an undecided voter, because he's bucking the trend. Okay. He's showing that somewhere in that hodgepodge fucked up brain of his, that there are moments of sanity and decency somewhere in that pile of shit noggin that he has. Okay? I I wonder what some of you who hate him, like Stevie, has to say about this. Chris says, kind of surprised he hasn't made a Trump party. Aaron writes, this is true, Chris, but the election, selection of jobs to choose is extremely limited for dummies. What is that over? What is that in reference to? You guys are having a conversation. Recruiting is way down. You don't even need a GED to get in the Navy now. And then Aaron says, this is true, Chris, but the selection of jobs to choose is extremely limited for dummies. I get you. Trump says, or Stevie says, he still sucks. Well, yeah, but this is a great thing for him to say, though, without a doubt. You would have to agree with him. I know I do. With that, of course. Makes perfect sense. All right. Thank you so much. Feeling a little bit better on the Patreon bonus podcast after an ugly, 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 horrible free podcast setting us back years, in my opinion. I don't know if I'll ever get over that. Thanks, folks. Have a great one, and I will talk to you later. By the way, the word on the street is now that Ben and I are going to do a first-ever Big Fraud Sunday. What? Still working out the details on the time, but that is that looks like that's going to happen. Okay, thank you so much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.